Listen on Demand, brought to you by 680 News.
All right. So, Michael, you're doing some great work helping people at Palm Partners. Tell me a little bit about exactly what you're doing there.
Well, I do interventions for them when people, when they have a hard time getting their children or family members or even friends to come in. Usually I'll get on the phone with them and try to convince them. And if I can't convince them on the phone, I'll fly to where they are. And out of the 16 times I've done it, I've been successful 14 times so far.
Wow, that's great. Michael, are you on a speakerphone by any chance?
I was, but not now.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'll just get you to talk just a little closer to the receiver and be just a little bit clearer.
Is that better?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay, great.
Okay, super.
So, yeah, that's what I do. And they have the reason why I picked Palm Partners is because they have a totally different approach. They approach addiction from a psychological aspect, a physiological, a medical, and also from a point of trauma, because we've identified that, or most people have in this business, that it's always a very traumatic situation that flips that switch of addiction on, and that really gets it going. That's a genesis of someone becoming addicted to whatever drug or alcohol that they are.
Yeah. Now, you went through the program yourself, so you have first-hand knowledge of how it works, right?
Yeah, well, I've been clean for 8 years. On February 20, I was actually clean for 7 years before that, but on February 23rd of 2004, I had found out that Lindsay had some trouble while she was shooting Just My Luck down in New Orleans, and I was getting a private plane, and while I was waiting, she actually overdosed, and I relapsed. I had three drinks. I got in my car, and I was flying to the airport. I was doing 80 miles an hour in my car. And for no reason whatsoever, I drove off the road into a telephone pole, and I died in the accident. And they actually had to use a defibrillator to bring me back to life. And that started an entirely new life for me. My life was literally taken from me and given back to me.
Wow. That is definitely a life-changing experience, for sure.
It was an epiphany. Yes, it was.
So when you say that Palm Partners approaches things differently, what did you personally have to go through there? Was it counseling? Was it, what are the actual things that they do there?
Well, it is group counseling. They have core group. They have all different kinds of counseling, 12-step counseling and meetings. But they do a lot of individual therapy. And you get the one-on-one attention you need. Instead of a group setting, you get a lot of attention paid to whatever your trauma or your issue is, or issues for that matter. So you get, and they also have massage therapy. They have acupuncture. They have a sweat lodge where you go in. It's a very, very spiritual experience. But they approach addiction and the treatment of it from so many different angles that they can identify with what the problem is, and they can help you fix it.
And what is their success rate?
It's hard to say, because I can tell you, look, success coming out of the place can be 70-80%, but you can't look at how someone's doing a month after they get out. You have to look further down the line, look at a year, 2, 3, 4, 5 years even, and see how someone's doing. And in this case, they do anywhere from 70-80% in success after 5 years.
And you've had very good success with your interventions. And how long have you been doing that?
Well, I've been doing this for about a year and a half, 2 years. I mean, the only glitch I ran into was the situation I had with my ex, Kate Major, and that was an intervention as well that caught me in trouble, because she had moved back in with her father, and her father's a severe alcoholic, and the situation was bad, and she had to move out. And she asked me to find her an apartment, and I did. And the night she moved into the apartment, a very bad person in her life had called up. And I asked her, I said, give me the phone. I didn't ask her. I told her, I said, give me the phone. And she said, no, please don't say anything. Don't start trouble. I said, give me the phone. And she wouldn't give it to me. So I grabbed her arm and I took the phone. And I told the person I was going to report them to the police for dealing drugs. And I broke the phone. So they arrested me for grabbing her arm and breaking the phone.
And so that issue is ongoing, or have you settled it?
No, that's settled. It's all done. It's said and done. The judge actually, they wanted to give me 6 months in jail for that, and Kate came forward to the court and said, listen, he doesn't belong in jail, not for this. At least let him go to rehab, because he was on steroids, and, it did affect me psychologically, without a doubt. And the judge said, fine, do 4 months in rehab, and I did 4 months in rehab, and now I'm working for the rehab that I went to.
Do you find, Michael, that being in the spotlight, so to speak, sort of does it put more pressure on you to watch everything you do? I mean, is it difficult to sort of get your life together because you feel like you're being watched all the time?
Well, Gloria, I don't know about getting my life together or anyone getting their life together. Is it overwhelming? Absolutely, it sure is. I mean, when you just want to go to a restaurant and have a nice dinner with someone you care about or even your family, or if you want to enjoy a leisure activity, you want to go on a boat or you want to go down to the beach, it's horrible to have paparazzi standing outside waiting or even outside your house just trying to get a picture. For what? I understand they have to make a living, but come on. Don't intrude on someone's privacy. Leave Lindsay alone. The poor kid is trying to get back on track, and all they do is put more pressure on her. It's not easy for her.
Yeah, it really seems like a microscope these days. I mean, it looks like if she sneezes, they're going to take 20 photographs and publish something ironic about it, right?
Yeah, well, you know, I have a philosophy, and it's about freeing yourself from all this stuff. Like, we live in a fishbowl. Being that we're in this position, and probably you are too because you're a media person. You know, we live in a fishbowl and we're always looking out at all these people looking in at us. But instead of looking at them and them looking at us, what we really have to do is look within ourselves, and that really sets us free. That gets us out of that whole thing. And says, we say to ourselves, what can I do to get me out of this position? What will make them stop looking at me? And the answer is what you just said. I mean, you have to try to avoid things that'll put you in the spotlight. That's why I'm down here down at Delray in Palm Partners, because there's no cameras down here. There's no paparazzi. I can go to the restaurant. I can go to a gym. I can jog down the street. I can go to the beach, and no one's going to bother me. Sure, they recognize me, but they're nice about it.
Excellent.
But it's not overwhelming down here, and
yeah.
I love that.
Sounds good.
It is.
Now, is it true that you want to open up your own facility for high-end clients for rehab?
Well, I'm not opening it up. Palm Partners is opening up a high-end facility on the beach down here. And one of the hats I wear is bringing people in and filling that facility. But it's got to be the right people and people that want this kind of treatment. Because I'm not going to get involved with people that just want to come in and relax for a month and then go out and do the same thing. If you want to get help, want to get better, and you really want to turn your life around, come and see us or call me at Palm Partners or go to our website, which is www.palmpartners.com, and we will gladly help you.
Given that you are in the spotlight, have you helped any other people who are sort of in the entertainment business turn their lives around?
Yes, but because of HIPAA laws, I can't even mention who they are, but there's just one very, very famous person that is married to another successful actor who had his own issues. I helped her get into a place and it wasn't too successful because he wound up sending a jet to pick her up the second day she was in rehab and it didn't work out that well.
And now you seem to have a sort of symbiotic relationship with your daughter. When she gets into trouble, it really hits you hard. How do you feel about how she's doing these days? And does it still really hit you hard when she gets into trouble?
Absolutely. I mean, there's situations like last night when she was driving a car and some guy said that she hit, it was a hit and run, that he brushed up against her knee. But they already investigated that and found out that the guy was lying, which I don't blame her for. What I do blame her for is being out at 3:15 in the morning anyway. She didn't belong, and she shouldn't have been out at that hour. But, you know, it does hurt when she does things and doesn't listen to me. And in the past, when she was doing things wrong, I'm her dad. I'm not her friend. I will tell her what she's doing wrong. I don't care if she's 25 years old or not. And if she's in harm's way or her life is in jeopardy, I'm going to do what a father has to do. And you don't make friends with your kids when you do that. I'm not going to give candy to a baby. She's my daughter. And if I have to save her life by any means, I'm going to do it.
They're saying now that guy whose knee was brushed is now, now that he's found out who hit him, is now going to press charges.
Yeah, well, like I said, the police investigated it already, and they found out that there was no reason for the charges, and it's dropped, from what I understand.
So it's so crazy. I mean, it sounded like she was just trying to turn around and get out of there, and then something like this happens. It's just, it's really unbelievable.
That's it.
Amazingly.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would sort of hate to be in that position myself. I just can't imagine it.
Well, you know what? You're not out at 3:15 in the morning either, like she was. She should have known better. I mean, like I said, nothing good happens after 12 midnight. There's no reason anyone should be out going to find their friend to say happy birthday at that hour. But you know what? Make a phone call. Don't go to a club at 3:15. Go and tell them face-to-face happy birthday. There's no reason. And if she wants to get her life back on track, she's going to follow the rules. She's going to live like a normal human being lives, 25 years old or not. It doesn't matter. She's made mistakes, and she's got to change the view of the public on her and let the people in the industry know that she's reliable and that she's acting in a mature fashion. So there's still some things that have to change, but I'm glad to say she's sober, and I'm proud of her, and I support her. But I'm also going to point out her faults, and she's got. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to sugarcoat anything, and I think you can see that by now. But you know, look, she's such a talented person, as many people are, especially addicts. People that I've come across that I've even put in rehabs are so gifted in some way. They have some talent, whether it's a singer, an artist, their intelligence, their creative ability. There's so many talented people that become addicts and fall victim to this disease that, you know, it's a shame if they just use their energy and focus on the things that they have, their gifts, they can accomplish anything. And I want Lindsay to do
that. Does she listen to you when you speak to her?
She listens to me when it comes to certain issues, and she doesn't listen when it comes to others. When it comes to her friends and things like that, I'm always wrong. Dad, no, it's not that kind of a person, or they don't do this. And most of the time, I'm always right, and I turn around and say to her, Lynn, how do you see I was right? And she'll say, yeah, Dad, or she'll kind of brush it off and say, yeah, maybe I should have listened. But listen, a parent can see a lot more than a kid can, because we've been down that road before. Mm. And it's a shame, but children need to listen to their parents more than they used to, I'll tell you.
Was it a good thing or a bad thing or both that she spent some time in prison?
Well, I think the fact that she got a taste of it was all she needed. Do I think she should have gone to prison? Absolutely not. I don't think anyone with an addiction should go to prison. It only gets worse. It propagates it. I think that what they do need is therapy. Unless someone commits a heinous crime in the midst of an addiction where they kill someone or rape someone or do something heinous like that, I think that people need to be sent to rehabs to get their life in order, because they don't even know what they're doing half the time. I didn't know what I was doing when I was drinking and using cocaine in the 80s. You know, I was acting like an idiot. Now, when I walk in a bar or I walk in a restaurant, I look at people and I say, did I act like that? Was I really like that? And that really turns me around, and it turns my stomach at the same time to look at people getting like that.
It sounds to me like Lindsay's lucky to have someone like you who's been through it and knows exactly what's going on.
Yeah, well, maybe lucky in some aspects, but unlucky too, because no one wants to see their parent, you know, get involved in situations where relationships turn bad and this and that. And I'm always trying to help someone who's in need. And that's what codependency is, and that's why I went to rehab. I mean, I'm clean for so long. You can have three of the most stable women in the world in three separate chairs and then have another one who's the biggest hot mess in the other chair, in the fourth chair, and I'll pick the hot mess because I want to help them. I want to give them the life that I found and I have. The other ones don't need fixing. I want to fix what's broken. That's a problem.
Do you blame yourself at all for Lindsay's problems?
I have to. How can I not? I mean, Lindsay's problem started with the divorce between her mother and I mean, if you look at the timeline from when she did the Parent Trap right to the pinnacle of her career, whether it was Mean Girls or, you know, even Just My Luck, or Herbie for that matter, you never saw or heard a negative thing about Lindsay Lohan or her mom and dad. You didn't even see Dina or I. But when we got divorced, Lindsay's life fell apart. It just hit her. It was so traumatic for her that she resorted to numb the pain and drown the sorrows. And it's our fault. I can only hold myself accountable. I can't speak for Dina. But I know she doesn't. She blames me for it. And maybe I was wrong, because our divorce, we were happily married for 19 years, and I caught her brother using drugs in my house. And I got in a fight with him, and he wound up in a coma. She divorced me over it. So I have to hold myself accountable.
And do you think Lindsay's on a good track now?
I think she's on a good track. Do I think she's on the best track? No. But I think she's on a good track. I think she needs to get off the prescription medication that the doctors have given her, because as we saw in Saturday Night Live on SNL, she certainly didn't act to the best of her ability. When you're on prescription drugs, I don't care what it is, prescribed or not, you're not going to be yourself. There's a veil. There's a haze over you, and you can't. You're not yourself. That certainly isn't Lindsay Lohan, not the one I know.
So you didn't think her hosting SNL was as good as it should have been?
No, by no means.
But you do think that she's got a chance at staying on a good track now?
Yeah, I do. I do. As long as she stays away from the wrong people and the wrong places and things. But I think she's starting to get that in order. She fired her manager, Lou Taylor, who was nothing but a parasite. She didn't even know Lou. She came out of nowhere. And she had a ridiculous claim to fame through Britney Spears. But she started to get her sins back together, and she cleaned house, so to speak. And she has all good people around her now.
Good.
Thank God.
Was it a good thing or a bad thing that Lindsay posed for Playboy?
You're asking the wrong person. I'm her father, and I hadn't seen the spread. I know a lot of big actresses have. You know, there's so many out there that pose for Playboy. She got paid a lot of money for it. My advice was, I wouldn't like it, but do what you have to. And it was $1 million payday, and maybe she thought it helped her career. She got a lot of publicity out of it. But that's my daughter. I don't want people to look at her naked. Come on, give me a break.
Yeah. We've lost so many people in the last little while, Whitney Houston, Amy Winehouse, Michael Jackson. What's your take on fame and addiction and death? Is it a Hollywood epidemic?
I think it's an epidemic all over the world. The only reason why we see it as a Hollywood epidemic is because they're more visible. I mean, how many people a day are dying from drug overdoses, taking pills, doing cocaine, shooting heroin? I mean, just because they're not a personality, so to speak, they suffer the same. What people don't realize is we're all human beings. I'm no better or worse than anybody. I've lived on both sides of the coin. I've had it all, seen it all, done it all. And I've been friends with the richest people in the world, with the poorest people in the world. I mean, I fed the homeless for years. But you know what? We're all just the same in one thing. We all feel the same. We have the same emotions. We feel the same pain. We enjoy the same happiness. But the line that divides is how we handle those things in life. And whether you're a celebrity or not, everyone makes the right and wrong decisions. And sometimes, you know, it takes a little more to get on the right path.
Michael, for parents who might be listening and think that their children are in trouble, their son or their daughter may be doing drugs, what advice would you give them?
Get them into treatment. Don't try to do it yourself. It's not going to work. You just can't. If someone uses drugs for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years, or even longer, you're not going to get better by getting clean for a month or so or going into treatment for 30 days. You really need to find the right place, and I consider it Palm Partners. And you need to get help. If you want your life back, grab the bull by the horns and say, I'm going to take this down and I'm going to win.
What do you think is the worst thing now that people are abusing? Is it alcohol? Is it cocaine? Is it crack? What's going on in the world right now that's the worst?
It was cocaine, then heroin, and then, I mean, alcohol's been predominant for years, but it's a legal substance, not cigarettes. But right now it's pills. The Oxycodone, Roxy's, which are called Blues, Xanax, Klonopin, Adderall. Adderall is given to 7 out of 10 kids in college, and it's nothing more than methamphetamine. It's one of the worst drugs on the market, and doctors get incentivized here in the United States. They get vacations, they get bonuses for selling this stuff or prescribing it. Pills are killing America, and probably part of Canada as well. I mean, I don't know the market up there that well. Well, we do get people from Canada coming down to treatment centers, but you know, it doesn't matter where you live. This disease does not discriminate, and it will find you.
And do you think it'll ever change? I mean, I know the OxyContin now, they're going to cut back and maybe take it off the market. Any other signs that people are waking up to it at all?
Gloria, my question is, what's next? What's the next one going to be? I mean, come on, it was crack for a while, then it's OxyContin. What is next? They're going to find something else. But you know what? It's a matter of the government doesn't do enough to really just squash it when they can. Oxy's been around for, what, 8-10 years now? And they haven't, now they're starting to address it finally after 8 years. Come on, give me a break. How many people had to die for you to say, all right, we have to do something about this? You know, it's really horrible that things have come to the state they are.
Yeah. So when you do your interventions, do people quit cold turkey, or do you have ways of easing them off these drugs?
No, you actually have to put them into detox. And it's not the opiates like heroin or OxyContin or those things that are so hard. It's the benzodiazepines, which are like Valium, which are Adderall, which are, Ambien. I mean, I can go Klonopin, Gabapentin, I can go on and on. And those are the ones that are the hardest to detox off of. And you can, most of the time, people seizure when they're detoxing from them.
Really?
It's not handled the right way. Yeah.
Wow.
It's horrible.
Wow. Yeah. So people have no idea. They're innocently taking these drugs thinking, oh, I'm just going to feel a little bit better. And really, they're addicting themselves to very heavy drugs.
Gloria, you know how many people in their 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s are in rehabs? Because as you get older, you hurt yourself, you break a bone, and they give you painkillers, and before you know it, you're addicted, and you have to go into rehab just to detox and get off them.
Wow.
I mean, I've seen people in the Karen Clinic, people in their 70s and 80s, that are in there getting off pain pills because doctors wrote the prescription.
Wow. Amazing.
It's sick.
Yeah.
It really is. But, you know, hopefully God will have his way and people will start to reason, learn, and see the light, so to speak.
Absolutely. Well, Michael, it sounds like you're doing your bit.
Yeah, I'm trying to do my best. I like what I'm doing. That's the most important thing.
Excellent. Well, good luck with everything. Thanks for taking the time to chat, and hopefully we can talk again in the future to see how things are going.
Anytime, Gloria, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Michael.
God bless. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.